I've briefed everybody on the deal with Oma and Jack and who they are and what they're like. I'd like to get more from you because you're one of the foremost Thelma scholars. Remember, I sent you that email last time I was at their place, and Thelma was talking to me, and a bug flew in her mouth, and she swallowed it rather than me, so impolite as to spit it out.
Very Thelma-esque.
Yeah, it's like, you're going to be Thelma. We're in awe of Thelma. It must be weird to have all your friends be in awe of you.
It is, and, you know, it's so remarkable, the energy that she has, that she can just put out for days at a time, you know, and meal after meal, and, yeah, you know, with the elegance that she has.
She makes Martha Stewart seem like a slacker.
Oh, absolutely.
And Martha Stewart's faking it. She's got, like, servants, you know? Yeah. Thelma don't have servants.
Oh, no,
you know?
No. She's right in there, and we wake up in the morning, the towels in the bathroom have been changed, and everything has been tweaked, and there's new bars of soap, and it's like little elves came during the night and spruced the place up.
The toilets have been sanitized.
Yes, right. Absolutely. Yeah, the toilet paper has been folded in a little arrow.
Exactly. Thelma's incredible.
Yeah, we stayed over there. You've stayed over there. You go in the room, and they have the Bose Wave radio in every room, and they have the bottle of water, and everything is just perfect.
Oh, you know what I'm bringing?
What are you bringing?
Pedialyte.
For?
It's the best thing. It's
for
the
hangover?
Preventive of hangover and cure for hangover. It's much better than water to dehydrate, because water has the wrong electrolytic charge. It just makes you more nauseous.
You know,
so I'm going to drink half the bottle before I go to sleep, and the other half when I wake up.
That's, you know, I've been a fan of Gatorade or any of those
things. That's always, it's too high in sugar.
No, I agree. I think Pedialyte, you've
it's doctor proof.
You went right in there.
Yeah. So if you want to, like, dip into some of my Pedialyte, my secret stash, I'm leaving the refrigerator on the third shelf.
We'll do shots of Pedialyte.
Hammer.
You know, with this crowd, though, next thing you know, we'll be adding vodka to the Pedialyte, a little sour cherry concentrate. Do you want your Pedialyte upper on the rocks?
Oh, my God. All right. Here's what I want you to do.
Yes.
I'm going to ask you to just do, like, 30-second snippets describing the wines we're going to drink in various ways. The first one I want you to do is a fast 30-second snippet of what we're going to drink for extreme wine geeks. Just speak for wine geeks.
I'm not sure if I'm good enough for this, by the way, so I'll say that.
Jim, you're good enough for this. Trust me.
Right.
Okay. What are we drinking this weekend, the wine geek version?
Well, we're going to do, like, a tasting of 96, 86, and 66. We're doing all the first growths, all the second growths, and then pretty much a boatload of other growths, of other chateaus. So we kind of, you know, it's kind of Saturday, we'll start with the 96 while we're still kind of fresh and everything, and we'll go through a whole layer of those while with dinner. We'll drink all the first growths, all the second growths of 96, and which, you know, as you know, is a pretty touted vintage, and, you know, we're trying to get it's 10 years on is the big deal. And now it became acceptable to at least taste the wine to see where it's going. And then we're doing 86, you know, and for me anyway, a very tannic vintage, so we're going to find out if you're sitting on a whole bunch of 86s, should you be drinking them right now, and how have they been doing? Because every time I open up an 86, it's still tannic, it's still not ready, and I've wasted a case of 86s just waiting for them to be ready.
So we're going to come out of that tasting like scraping our tongues?
You know, unless, of course, they've turned the corner, and then we're going to be in Nirvana.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's going to be the heaven or hell tasting. Okay,
yeah.
Now give the 30-second version for people who know nothing about wine. What are we doing up here this weekend?
Oh, well, you know, it's just like a wine fest. It's the Woodstock of drinking wine. You know, it takes a lot of stamina.
This is always closed, man.
Yeah, yeah. We'll be mudsliding. You know, and it's a kind of a wine fest, and, you know, it's not for lightweights.
Well, Bob Finn be dancing nude through the living room.
You know, it's possible with the amount of wine, and they remind you of all the wine they have because they line up the bottles, so there's no fooling.
The wall of shame.
Absolutely. So at any rate, you get to drink these three vintages, you get to drink the best wines of the world, and you get to compare them to, you know, what you think good wine tastes like, you know, and really for the maybe non-wine geek, there's two kinds of people at the tasting, and, you know, one person is there to taste the wine and enjoy the wine and the taste that you get from it, and the other person is the wine taster, and he's there to compare the wine to how it ought to be because they have an expectation of how it ought to be. And those are the two camps. You know, I waffle between the two depending upon.
I'm wearing the waffle camp. I like to do some tastings of waffles. Okay, now do the emotional version. forget wine. How is this going to impact you doing this weekend? What's the arc? How much are you looking forward to it?
Oh, I look forward. There's two of these a year, and this one's like spectacular because this is the away game for me. The other one's in my hometown, so I still have my life to face. So I love going for this weekend, and it's just nonstop fun. You almost have to concentrate, though, especially for the Saturday night dinner because there are so many wines to taste. It's real easy on the back half of the tasting just to start drinking. You just start drinking, eating food, and talking to people. But you do. The wines are so great that, you know, you want to do that, but you also want to pay attention to what you're drinking because there's another world-class, spectacular wines that I may never drink again, and then I am lucky to have even drank once.
So you're just sort of like looking forward to it, but with some trepidation, sort of like an Olympic skier about to go off the jump.
Absolutely. You know,
is your adrenaline running? Your nostrils flaring?
Pretty much. You know, and then lunchtime Saturday, it's important not to hurt yourself, but you want to try all the wine. Right. So I'll go back, I take a power nap, we'll take a walk, and if I'm really up for it, you know, after I've slept for a couple hours, I'll go for a run and get, you know, all freshened up for the evening, and then, you know, then it's a big push through the evening again in that in the back half. And then, you know, Sunday.
Have you been training for this at all?
Friday night I'm going into big training. I'm going to go to bed at 10 o'clock and you know, try not to drink too much.
Right.
That would be my idea.
So have you been doing anything to train yourself for this? Have you been increasing your alcohol consumption? Have you been getting massage, working on your soft tissues, getting up to shape? What do you do to prepare for this?
Well, I mean, I like your idea better, but I probably go the other way, you know.
How so?
I try to go to bed a little early and try to, you know, just kind of, I've been exercising a little more because I know it's going to be a 30,000 calorie weekend.
What do you do after?
Afterwards, very easy to behave because you're pretty well shot after that. You're looking for quiet nights. TiVo is very popular for a few nights.
You're not going to, like, try to take it to the next level.
Yeah, definitely not.
So this is perfect. You're trying to, like, be cool and eat less and live less. And like, here we are, like, scouting jerk chicken and stuff.
Absolutely, yes.
So, yeah, we're going the wrong way here.
48 hours before.
Bad scheduling.
Yes. But I got to the gym today, and so I'll be ready.
Now let's cover it economically. What's the economic picture for this tasting?
These wines come out of people's cellars. We get the wines at user-friendly prices from everybody. They're below auction prices, a general rule around there. And the more important, too, we have access to these wines because a lot of the people that belong to this group have large cellars, and they kind of donate the wine, but they bring the wine. So we're getting to drink wines that, A, I have no access to, and B, at retail, I really probably wouldn't afford to buy. And again, if I could buy it, I wouldn't want to afford to drink the whole bottle myself, so I get to go there. I get to taste, a 12th of the bottle, which is enough for me to know the wine, to, you know what it tasted like, to have experienced it, and I get to do that 75 times. Over the course of 2 days.
Over and over.
Yeah, and over. Absolutely. And while they serve great food and have great company. And, you know, it's an over-the-top kind of wine experience. It's hard to... first time I went, I realized that it really wasn't going to get any better after that. It was pretty much,
right.
You know, as good as it gets. That's and I can only hope that I could do it again.
And again.
Yes.